tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Now, I hope wherever in the world you are watching from, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you and your family well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyin. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, today's topic is with regards to the statements of the pious predecessors, subhanallah. And to join in our discussions today is our Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Jazakullah Sayyidi, welcome and marhaba once again. And it's always delightful to see you, mashallah. Sayyidi, we are discussing the statements of the pious predecessors, and the narration says when the pious predecessors are mentioned, the mercy of Allah descends.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Let's inshallah Azza wa Jal first recite Salat and Salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, there is a beautiful hadith in which it is mentioned the great Sahabi Rasul Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The hadith says that one day Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he entered the masjid. So he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam facing the Qibla direction and he was making sajda. So Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood there and waited for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he completes his sajda. So a long time had elapsed and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in sajda. So it got Sayyidina Abdurrahman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu worried, got him worried. And he thought for a moment that perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. And then he got closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his mubarak head from sajda and he sat down, Sayyidina Abdurrahman radiyallahu ta'ala, he got happy. And waqal, and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, sajadta sajdatan khashitu an yakuna Allahu azza wa jalla qad qabada nafsak. That you made such a long sajda that for a moment I thought that perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal had captured your soul. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Upon that Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ replied, إِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَامْ أَتَانِي فَبَشَّرَنِي. That indeed Sayyidina Jibreel عَلَيْهِ سَلَامْ, he came to me and he gave me the good news and the glad tiding. What is that glad tiding? And he said to me, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he said to me, Inna Allah Azza wa Jalla yaqul, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Man salla alayka sallaytu alayh, that whoever recites durood upon you, I descend my mercy upon him. Wa man sallama alayk sallamtu alayh, and he who sends salam upon you, I send salam upon that person. So when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam told me that, subhanallah, the virtues of reciting salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَسَجَدْتُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ شُكْرًا. Therefore, I made sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to appreciate the blessings of Allah and to make shukr to him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So without further ado, together let's recite صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ.
Subhanallah, Masim. You know what you've mentioned, this beautiful narration of Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that Nabi صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ showed gratitude upon the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, since today we are, you know, discussing the statements of our pious predecessors, and in relation to this, together with this, there is a very beautiful statement of Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he mentions and he says that whoever does not express gratitude for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not adopt humility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds his worldly benefit, puts it to a stop, and opens a layer of hellfire for such a person.
Allah.
And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then Allah ta'ala may either forgive him or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may either punish him. So this statement, we see that it is narrated to us from Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, here is, you know, a very important lesson for each and every one of us, that we have to and we should, we must show gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we've you know, heard the beautiful narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for such a long period, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the position of prostration. And when he heard the good news that Jibreel alayhi salam gave him, what was the reaction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He immediately made sajda and was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we have to ask ourselves that when we receive a new car or a new house, Or anything that's new, or any gift that we get, is this our reaction as well, where we immediately go into sajda and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So are we really doing this? Are we really, you know, appreciating the bounties that we have in our lives? Because if a person is not grateful, then that person throughout his whole life, he would see there would be no barakah in his time, there would be no barakah in his money, there would be no barakah in his wealth, in his job, in his business, in his sustenance. Why? Because of him being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn, you know, Islam teaches us that the person who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran teaches us, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that the more a person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to such a person.
Subhanallah.
And on the other hand, the more ungrateful a person is to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the lesser Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to such a person. So from this we can take, you know, and understand that whatever we have in life, whether it be less, whether it be more, in every circumstances, we have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that is to adopt humility. You know, a person may be rich, or a person may be granted so much of ni'mah, so much of bounties in this world by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, if a person does not adopt humility, then this may be, you know, a cause for his destruction. Because a person now should not boast that, look what a house I got, look at what a car I got, look at my bank balance, look at this, look at that. If that's the case, if such a person is like this, then sooner or later that person would lose every single thing. Why? Because of not adopting humility and being boastful of the possessions that they have. So from this statement, we learn that it's important to us to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and together with that, to adopt humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah. May Allah azza wa jal also grant us tawfiq to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be the humble servants that we are supposed to be, inshallah azza wa jal. Sayyidi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he expressed his gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he showed practically how we should be grateful to Allah.
Yes.
And at nights he would be standing to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for so long and such lengthy periods of time that his feet used to swell up. And Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would say to him, that Ya Rasulullah, you are the beloved of Allah. Why are you exerting so much, you know, and putting yourself through difficulty? And he said to her, that shouldn't I be the grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Subhanallah. So these are the lessons that are taught to us, the Ummah, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here the example you gave of the great Sahabi Rasul Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the other Anbiya, they were also there. They set example for us as to how we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, there is another story in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a parable where a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a needy person, a poor person, and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some charity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that he should be given one date. One date. The man looked at the date and he said that, you know what, this is very little sadaqah. And he left it. And he returned without even taking it.
Allahu
Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And after a while, another man came who was also asking for sadaqah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that he should be given one date. So when the date was given to him, he became happy. Subhanallah. It is one date. And look at the reaction of two individuals. First man, he was disappointed. And the second man, he got happy. Subhanallah. وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. And he even said, Subhanallah. تَمْرَةٌ مِّن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I got a date from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. He was expressing his joy and happiness. He was over the moon that he got a date from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called his servant and he said to her that she must go to his beloved wife, Sayyida Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she should also take this beggar to her and must give him 40 dirhams that is kept by her. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And we should learn from this parable that the first man who refused to take one date and he expressed his disappointment and he left it, never even took it. The second man, because he expressed gratitude and shukr to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the court of Allah, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt more generous towards
Allah,
him
Allah.
That this man is making shukr. So he sent the servant that she must go and arrange 40 dirhams that were kept by Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyida Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha to be given to this person.
Allah.
So if you are grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they grant you more.
Yes.
Inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to learn much more about the statements of our pious predecessors. Inshallah, stay tuned with Madani channel until we go and listen to the kalam Taiba ko ja raha hai by our brother Hasnain Raza Attari hafizahullah. Inshallah, we'll be back shortly after the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina, 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 Madine jaane walo jao jao fi amanillah. Madine jaane walo jao jao fi amanillah. Kabhi to apna bhi lag jayega bistar Madine mein. शैदा मेरे नबी का सब गुनगुना रहेंगे नगमा मेरे नबी का सब गुनगुना रहेंगे नगमा मेरे नबी का हर हर कदम पे होगी लुत्फो करम की बारिश हर हर कदम पे होगी लुत्फो करम की बारिश जन्नत से कम नहीं है रास्ता मेरे नबी का जन्नत से कम नहीं है रास्ता मेरे नबी का सब गुनगुना रहे हैं नगमा मेरे नबी का तैबा को जा रहा है शैदा मेरे नबी का सब गुनगुना रहे हैं नगमा मेरे नबी का सब गुनगुना रहे हैं नगमा मेरे नबी का यूं जन्नती सफर का आगाज हो रहा है यूं जन्नती सफर का आगाज हो रहा है दस्ते
کرم ہے ان پر رکھا میرے نبی کا، دستے کرم ہے ان پر رکھا میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیطان میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
سب حاجیوں کے لب پر ذکر نبی گجاری، سب حاجیوں کے لب پر ذکر نبی گجاری،
ہے محفل حرم میں چرچا میرے نبی کا، ہے محفل حرم میں چرچا میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیطان میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
پائے نبی کی خوشبو ہے اب بھی ہر گلی میں، پائے نبی کی خوشبو ہے اب بھی ہر گلی میں،
کتنا مہک رہا ہے مکہ میرے نبی کا، کتنا مہک رہا ہے مکہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیطان میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
سرکار کی بدولت یہ برکتیں گے ساری، سرکار کی بدولت یہ برکتیں گے ساری،
ہے اجتماع حج بھی صدقہ میرے نبی کا، ہے اجتماع حج بھی صدقہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیطان میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
حاصل مجھے بھی ہوگی سب سے بڑی مسرت، حاصل مجھے بھی ہوگی سب سے بڑی مسرت،
جس دن مجھے بلاوا آیا میرے نبی کا، جس دن مجھے بلاوا آیا میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیطان میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
عشق و ادب میں ڈل کر میرا سلام کہنا، عشق و ادب میں ڈل کر میرا سلام کہنا،
جس وقت ہو نظر میں روزہ میرے نبی کا، جس وقت ہو نظر میں روزہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیطان میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
اب کیجئے فریدی رخصت انہیں یہ کہہ کر، اب کیجئے فریدی رخصت انہیں یہ کہہ کر،
لانا میرے لیے بھی تحفہ میرے نبی کا، لانا میرے لیے بھی تحفہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی نبی کا تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیطان میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویور. سبحان اللہ, سچ اے ونڈرفل کلام ان دی پریز آف دی بیلوڈ مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ایز وی آر بیک ڈسکسنگ آور ٹاپک سٹیٹمنٹس آف دی پائیس پریڈیسیسرز, اینڈ ایز مولانا صاحب ہیز آلریڈی مینشنڈ دی سٹیٹمنٹ آف دی گریٹ صحابی رسول سیدنا کعب رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, اینڈ ناؤ دی سٹیٹمنٹ آف دس پائیس پریڈیسیسر ہوز نیم از سیدنا میمون بن مرحان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. He says that whoever wishes to know his rank in the court of Allah should ponder over his actions. His actions reflect his rank.
Allah.
Subhanallah. So yes, it shouldn't be the case that where you are, we are committing the actions of the hellfire and we are hoping for paradise. Yes. This is unrealistic action and unrealistic result that we are hoping for. It is same as, you know, you are sowing the seeds of wheat and expecting mangoes to grow out of it. So this is very unrealistic and far further from the truth. So whoever wishes to know his rank in the court of Allah should ponder over his actions. If he is doing the actions which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he must know his rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be of such a person who is closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. But if he is the person who is indulging in vices and so on, then he must know what way he falls in rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Also, Munasab, you know, what we see important here is a person's intention and a person's sincerity. You know, in the acts, even in the good acts that a person may do, they have to be, one has to be sincere in them, because if one is not sincere in those good actions, you know, if the sincerity is not there, if the intention is for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then apparently the person may be thinking, hey, you know what, I'm doing something so good, I'm giving this much in donation to show the other person that look how much I'm giving, I'm beating you. If this is the kind of, you know, sincerity, apparent sincerity and intention that is there, then it's futile. You know, then it's pointless, because the intention was, you know, as you've mentioned, the intention was to show others, for example, look at how much I'm giving. So if it's like this, then it's completely pointless. So one's, when one is doing a good act, when one is doing a good deed, then one should first look at the heart, that what is my intention of doing this? Am I doing this only and only for the sake of Allah, or am I doing this because I feel good in my heart when someone is watching me, when I'm beating someone? So we have to, you know, look within ourselves and see where we fall into. If our intentions and our sincerity is only for the sake of Allah, then alhamdulillah, mashallah. But if it's on the other hand, it's the opposite, then such a person, you know, we need to rectify that and bring that in into order, wherein we prioritize and know what kind of an intention to make, not for others, but only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, azza wa jal. Sayyidi, what a beautiful example. And we can see in the lives of Sahaba Ikram, their charity as compared to everyone else's charity. Our charity cannot match up to the charity of Sahaba Ikram, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if my Sahaba give in charity a container of grains, and if someone else were to donate gold to the amount of the Mount Uhud, great mountain, that much gold, it would still not compare to the sincere charity of the Sahaba of donating one container of grains.
Subhanallah.
So this is the difference. And in the second statement, this great Wali Allah, pious predecessor, he says that the Quran guides those who obey it to the extent that it makes them reach paradise. And it does not abandon those who abandon it. Rather, it pursues them until it makes them fall into hellfire.
Allah.
Allah. We all know, Sayyidi, that the Quran will testify.
Yeah.
And the Quran will make shafa'at for those who hold yes. it very close, the Quranic teachings, who make amal on it, who recite it, who try to understand it. And the same Quran, he will not abandon those who abandon it. Allahu Akbar. It will make sure that person falls into the fire of hell.
Allahu Akbar.
So yes, this is a kind of a wake-up call for us
yes.
who are away from the teachings of the Holy Quran to come back to it. Because if we want to get into paradise, yeah. then inshallah, we need to stick to Quranic teachings.
Also, so you know, we see this often that, you know, in the month of Ramadan, then all the Qurans are brought out. But throughout the rest of the year, you know, except a few, illa mashallah, the Qurans, you know, are just kept in the cupboard and collecting dust. So we need to actually wake ourselves up, you know, wake up from the sleep of heedlessness and recite the Holy Quran. You know, there are so many benefits in that. Just by looking in the Holy Quran, one's eyesight gets improved. By reciting the Holy Quran, one gets so much of reward that it's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The summary of it is that for each letter of the Quran that a person recites, that person gets 10 rewards for each and every single letter. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went further on to explain, and he said that I do not mean that alif, lam and meem is one word. No, rather alif is one letter, lam is one letter, meem is one letter. So in total, 30 virtues are written for that person who only recited alif, lam, meem. Imagine the amount of reward a person will get if a person recites the entire page, one page of the Holy Quran, or even half page of the Holy Quran, provided that, you know, it's every single day of the person's life. It shouldn't be such that one day we get all boosted up and we say, today I'm going to recite 5 paras. And then the next day, we don't recite anything. The following day, we don't recite anything. The following day after that, we still don't recite anything. So it should not be, you know, in this way. Rather, we should take the guideline from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which he informs us that the best of deeds, the best of good deeds is that which is small but is done constantly. You know, every single day that deed is being done. So in this way, a person can make their mindset that inshallah, today I am going to recite half a page of the Holy Quran. Tomorrow, another half page of the Holy Quran. And in 2 days, one complete page of the Holy Quran completed. You know, because in a person's life, there are other priorities as well. It's just that we need to fit in that time, make that time, make it compulsory upon ourselves that every day we need to recite the Holy Quran. And due to the barakah of that, the same Quran will take us into Jannah, inshallah. But it is up to us. We have to, you know, recite the Holy Quran, understand the Holy Quran, and act upon what the Holy Quran says. Then only we can achieve the success in this world as well as in the hereafter.
Inshallah, ameen, bijahi nabil, ameen. Sayyidi, you mentioned something very remarkable according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for each letter, one receives 10 virtues, right? And what if a person recites the entire Quran as we do in the month of Ramadan especially, right. Subhanallah. If you take into account the letters that are there in the Holy Quran, roughly as many letters that are there, and if you multiply them by 10 right. virtues, it amounts to in total over 3 million virtues.
SubhanAllah.
3 million
SubhanAllah.
Virtues. And look at how materialistic we have become. If somebody were to deposit 3 million into our accounts, how would we feel? SubhanAllah.
Over
the moon. But Allah, here, Allah. 3 million virtues are being transferred into our accounts. SubhanAllah. Allah Azza wa Jalla is granting it to us.
SubhanAllah.
Allah.
Even by listening as
yes,
well.
Yes. SubhanAllah. How virtuous it should make us feel. And how lucky or fortunate it must make us feel that, you know, if I recite the entire Quran. This is how much I stand to gain. Subhanallah. Everyone wants to be a millionaire. Why can't we be millionaire in this regard, inshallah, azza wa jalla?
So yes,
the reward is only as per our effort. Inshallah, we should make effort and recite the Holy Quran on a daily basis. And in this way, we should be able to finish the entire Quran at least every month, once a
month.
Inshallah. So yes, the next saying, Sayyidi, this great pious predecessor, he says, and he leaves a lesson for all ages.
Right.
Dear viewers, no matter whether you are young or old, and this advice should fit no matter your age. He says, oh youngsters, during your youth, utilize your strength and ability in the obedience of Allah. And oh elderly people, what are you waiting for now? Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is so powerful. I mean, he reminds us, we are still in our youth. And for us, the message is that we should utilize our strength and ability in the obedience of Allah. This is where we have the energy, we have the drive. We can set our mind to pursue whatever we want out of life, inshallah. Yeah.
And you know, Musab, this energy that we have, you know, especially in our youthful days, in our young days, this energy is a very great ni'mah, bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what we can accomplish in our young days, we cannot accomplish it in when we get old. Because at that time, it becomes harder. So whilst, you know, we are young and that energy is still there, this energy, this strength, you know, and this ability, we should use it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, you know, the advice that we have heard. But what do we see nowadays? Where is this energy being channeled to? We see this energy being channeled in the wrong places, in the wrong times, in the wrong venues, indulged in sins and vices. This is where, you know, the energy goes in so many youngsters out there, because a youngster would think that, you know, I have so many years still to come ahead. Why must I sadden myself? Or why must I, you know, overload myself by doing this, by doing that, by performing salah? It's okay. Never mind. I can't perform my salah now. Never mind. I don't want to perform my salah now. It's okay. But when I get old one day, then it will hit me. I will start to realize and then I will start to gain knowledge and then perform my salah.
Does he have the guarantee of seeing his old age?
Exactly. No one does has anyone that guarantee.
Allah.
No one has that guarantee. So considering all of this, you know, one should think that, is it really worth it, me putting my energy into all of those futile activities out there? Is it really worth it? Is it really going to benefit me in the long run? Am I going to benefit from my youth when I am old? And there is a way to do that. How do you do that? How do you benefit from your youth in your old age? You benefit by being obedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because by doing that, by a person being good in their youth, in their youth days, doing good deeds, going from kafila, you know, being punctual in the 5 daily salah, giving charity, giving sadaqah, being good to other Muslims, when he reaches old age, and those things now which he could not do anymore that he could do in his young days, now that he is old, he can't do it anymore, those deeds will still be recorded for him in his book of deeds. Why? Because he has done it during his youthful days. And this is the reward that he gets, that even whilst he is old, he still benefited from his youth days because of the good deeds that he has done. So this is something that we need to adopt as well. We need to value, you know, those who are young, you know, they need to value it, appreciate it, not take it for granted, because many we see out there taking it for granted, taking their life anyhow, indulged in drugs, in intoxication, in drinking and in gambling. How many things that youngsters are indulged in that, apart from it being wrong, it is actually detrimental to their health, and they are destroying their life. not valuing their youth. So we need to value our youth, ponder over it, that this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I need to cherish, I need to value, and I need to spend my days in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Before it's too late.
Yes, before it's too late. This is the mindset that we need to have.
Yes. Allah, Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Aagah apni maut se koi bashar nahi. Saman 100 baras ka hai, pal ki khabar nahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the mindset to devote ourselves and to channel our energy in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to earn the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. Ameen bijahi nabiyyi labeen. And now, then in the next statement, he says, Sayyidi, that I prefer to give one dirham as charity during my life than for someone to give 100 dirhams on my behalf after I die.
Allahu Akbar.
This is what we see.
Yeah.
It is what we see. Actually, this is the reality, that a person would feel reluctant to give charity in the path of Allah. But after he passes away, the family members, the children of that person, they will give sadaqah on that person's behalf, do charity, isal-e sawab on that person's behalf, sponsor certain programs, maybe food hampers for the isal-e sawab of this individual. But while he was alive, he never did that. And here this great pious predecessor, he says that I prefer to give one dirham as charity during my life than for someone to give 100 dirhams on behalf of me when I die.
That's why, Munasab, you know, it's so important to be that person with this nature, that you know that the person is, he has this quality of being generous. Mm-hmm. When this is there, you know, then a person would not feel the need to be greedy. A person wouldn't feel greedy, because by being generous and by spending, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any hidden agenda, without gaining benefit from anybody, without all of that, but just by spending that much or donating towards a noble cause, just by doing that, a person, you know, would be so happy, would gain so much of satisfaction and contentment in their heart because of not having greed. And due to that, they would, you know, without thinking twice, they would give sadaqah, they would give charity, they would donate towards the jami'ah, towards the masajid, towards so many noble causes out there. They would donate. Why? Because they aren't greedy. So we see here that a person who is greedy, he would find it difficult to give out charity, to give out sadaqah. And when this person, you know, when he passes away, then we see that the rest of the community, the rest of the family members, they are giving on his behalf.
Yes.
So what we need to understand from this is that we should not be from amongst those people who are greedy. Because greed, it can actually, you know, take the iman of a person. How many, you know, incidents there are that happened in the past where when we see that individuals who were so pious, they got destroyed in an instant. Why? Because of greed. So if a person, you know, does not have this quality of greed, then we would see that they would be generous throughout their lives. They would be donating, and we would see that they would be blooming in life. Why? Because they are successful because of donating in noble causes. I mean, look at the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much of sadaqah and charity they would give, how much of donations they would give. Among some of these sahaba, some of them were even millionaires at the time. And they would donate so much without even thinking twice. This was the level of their generosity that they gave without even thinking twice. Look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the expedition of Tabuk, he brought his entire wealth. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, "Oh Abu Bakr, what have you left behind for your family?" And what was his reply? His reply was, Ya Rasulullah, I have left behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for my family. This is the conduct that we see in the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we also need to be from amongst those who give wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, ameen bijahin nabi, ameen sayyidi. Coming back to the point where this great pious predecessor, he says that I would rather give one dirham. Let's say in our currency, $1, ₹1, ₹1 rupee in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than 100 dirhams being given on my behalf after I pass away. It's like, you know, us making a choice.
Right.
Somebody is giving us cash and we say, no, we want credit. Have you seen such an individual who would say that? Somebody is giving you cash on the spot.
But you want
it. No, I want it later. Don't give me now. I haven't met such a person. But here, this is the example of the person who doesn't like to give in charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he waits to die, and then the loved ones later on, they must pay on his behalf.
Allahu Akbar.
So he doesn't want the reward now, he wants the reward later. Allah, Allah. So yes, we shouldn't be one of those individuals who act against the wisdom of giving charity. The wisdom is in giving while you have it.
Yes.
Instead of later, because later may never come. And there's no guarantee that those who have left, who you have left behind, they will do charity on your behalf. There's no guarantee of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And this should actually motivate us, Sayyidi, to do good, inshallah, and to really help others if we are capable and able to do so, inshallah. Yeah. This, the great pious predecessors after Wali Allah, whose name is Sayyidina Maimun bin Mirhan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After him is the statements of Sayyidina Wahb bin Munabbih rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. But before we inshallah move to his statements, there is a piece of nasiha inshallah azzawajal, which we have kept for you. A treatment of depression and anxiety, and that is by our great Muballigh of Dawat Islami brother Harun Rashid Attari, Hafizahullah. Let's go and listen to the nasiha, and thereafter we'll be back and we will present to you the statements of Sayyidina Wahb bin Munabbih rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
One beautiful Madni pearl that the scholars give is this, that to visit those who are ill and to help those who are in need is not only a beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but is a beautiful cure as well. So if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling upset, anxious and depressed, find a friend, find somebody you know who's not well. Perhaps they're in hospital. Take them a gift. Go and see them. Go and speak to them. Go and reassure them. Make dua for them. You will feel your anxiety, your depression, your difficulties start to ease and disappear. Then, one other deed that the scholars have written is extremely effective in changing your mindset and taking away these dark clouds of oppression and depression is helping others. If you can help others financially, if they're in need, go and help them. Make life easy for them. If you can do something good for them, help them out. Look for people who are in difficulty, a difficulty that you can help with, and try and help them as much as you can. You will feel as you're helping them, your spirituality return to you. Your anxiousness starts to disappear. Your attachment to the tragedies of the past and the brooding over them starts to disappear. You start to feel a sense of worth, a sense of being, a sense of worship in the court of Allah, a sense of remembrance of Allah, because Whether it's the sick person you've gone to see, you're doing it to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Or whether it's a needy person you are helping, you're doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as soon as you start to build this relationship and you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal descends upon you. And when it does, in your heart, you feel the relief. Alhamdulillah. So next time you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed and you're feeling upset, go and visit a sick person. Take a gift for them. Go and help the needy. Try and solve their problems. Get their du'as and watch your depression disappear. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, what a wonderful advice for those who are suffering with depression and anxiety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us relief from such headaches that people go through, and some are really drowning in this terrible state. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all relief and deliverance from such diseases and illnesses. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear viewers, as we promised you, that after the nasiha, we are going to mention some statements of the great pious predecessor, Sayyidina Wahb bin Munabbih rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And he says, Sayyidi, in this statement, that the world and the hereafter are like the two wives. Mm. If you please one of them, the other becomes upset. I mean, those who have married maybe for the second time, have two wives. I don't know if Maulana Sahib is in the same boat, but however, so it is quite obvious, yeah, that you hear from the experiences at times. And it is usually the case when you try to please one wife, the other becomes upset. And here he says that the world and the hereafter are like two wives. If you please one of them, the other becomes upset. So the choice is now, we have to make a choice.
Who do we want to please?
Yes, who do we want to please? Which wife? So inshallah Azza wa Jal, in this regard, we rather please and try to get our hereafter sorted out instead of going after this world, because the world is temporary. And nobody runs after temporary things. We all want the permanent happiness, permanent joy, permanent fortune, subhanallah. Even in job situations, a company is offering you a temporary position where you don't know your future. I mean, how long you're going to stay in that company. Right. And on the other hand, the next company is offering you a permanent position. Which would you go for?
You take the permanent.
Exactly. So the world is, we all know, is temporary. And the life of the hereafter is permanent. Subhanallah, this is our permanent abode. So a wise person will make the choice of choosing the hereafter. Subhanallah. And in this regard, Sayyidi, there's a great advice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Similar, something very similar. He says, when I try to run after the hereafter, then I see the world is left behind. And when I run after the world, then I notice in his own experience, his own observation, that the hereafter gets left behind. So I know that I have to bear some losses somewhere. So I'd rather cut my losses and go for the hereafter.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, the place which is everlasting.
Yes.
And you know, Mu'asab, for those who want to, you know, not gain love for this world, you know, to abstain and refrain from the love of this world and to focus and ponder more on the hereafter, there is a very beautiful narration. And in this narration, the summary of it is that on the day of Qiyamah, this world will be brought forth and in the form of an old woman, and her eyes would be disfigured, her front teeth would be coming outwards, and she will be brought in front of mankind, and it will be asked to them that do you all recognize her? And they will say that we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from recognizing her. We don't want to know her at all. That's how disgusting she is looking. We don't want to know anything about her. So it will be said to them that this is the same dunya, this is the same world due to which you had so much love for. Yes. And because of that, you had jealousy for one another, you had hatred for one another, mm-hmm. you cut off family ties because of having love for this world. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order that this world be taken to the fire of hell and thrown in it. As it is being dragged there, that old woman would say that, Ya Rabb, O Allah, we are all of those who listened and followed me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then order that, place all those who loved and followed this dunya, this world, place it alongside her and let them all go into Jahannam, into the fire of hell. So this narration should make us ponder that our whole lives we spend loving this world, loving the decorations of this world, the beauty of this world, enjoying its luxuries, etc. But on the day of Qiyamah, this is the outcome and the reality of this world, that it stinks. You know, because Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was walking and he came across a dump yard, and he had some companions with him. He told them that, look at how disgusting and stinking this dump yard is, this place is. And thereafter, he told them that this is the reality of this world that we love so much. So we need to take and we need to choose whether we want this world or whether we want the hereafter. And of course, we, alhamdulillah, as believers, as mu'mineen, we all want the everlasting hereafter. You know, no sane or no wise person will choose something that is temporary over something that is permanent. So we need to be in this world, live in this world, but for the hereafter. Live here and invest in the hereafter, inshallah.
I say that at the same time, being realistic, bad news for those who are running after the world, but they feel that, you know, they can attain the hereafter as well.
Yes, it can't.
You know, as the saying goes, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yes.
So it doesn't work. We have to make the choice, inshallah, azza wa jal, either this or that. And you can't have everything. Nobody can have everything. Right?
Yeah.
So, inshallah, in this regard, the great pious predecessors and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the great Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has laid out some beautiful words of advice for us to follow. And in the next saying, Sayyidina Wahb bin Munabbih rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that the example of a bad-mannered person, the example of an ill-mannered person is like an unusable, broken clay pot. And this is such an example that even in today's world, this example is given. People who are not at their best behavior, who have something really wrong with their behavior and morals and ethics, we people tend to call them crackpots. Mm. So, and this is the word commonly used. And we wouldn't want to be called a crackpot because of being at evil behavior, yeah. A person of evil behavior and ill behavior. But then why do we continue with our evil behaviors if we don't want that sort of title associated with us?
Yeah.
In other words, you know, Sayyidi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned something very remarkable. In his hadith, he says that the closest person on the day of judgment to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be that individual who has the best of characters.
Subhanallah.
And the person who will be furthest away, at the greatest distance from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be that individual who had the worst of characters.
Allahu Akbar.
So the choice is ours now, whether we want to refine our character, make it better so we can be closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because on the day of judgment, salvation will lie in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The shafaat will be made on the door of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Will be chased away from every other direction and will be fall at the feet of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make our intercession and shafaat. And if we were ill-mannered, then we'll be last person in the queue.
Allah
furthest Allah. Away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that will be a deep regret.
And you know, Muslim, no one likes to be in the company of those, you know, that have bad manners, that has a bad conduct, that has a bad character, you know, talking in a loud voice and screaming and shouting while talking, being aggressive, you know, using foul language, vulgar language, all of these things. No one really likes to be in their company. Why? Because they feel it dark. So instead, you know, of adopting that company which consists of individuals that have bad manners, we should rather adopt the company of those individuals, of those people, of those believers that have good manners. Because by being in their company, their good nature, their good habits, it will rub on us because of us being in their company. So this is something that we should also adopt, and you know, which we also should adopt good qualities, have good character, because we don't want to be of those people, you know, regarding which other people would call us crackpots. You know, no one wants to be called that. So it's important for each and every one of us to adopt the character, the conduct, and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best of characters, being inspired by the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Inshallah, until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.